You've heard me talk about Bill as the loyalty program that lets you earn points on rent wherever you live. And they just leveled up even more. As of 2026, homeowners can also earn up to 1.25x points on their mortgage payments. This is thanks to Bilt's three new credit cards, the Palladium card, Obsidian card, and Blue card. All three turn your housing payments, rent or mortgage, into flexible rewards, so you can choose the card that fits your lifestyle without missing out on points and exclusive benefits. Bilt points can be redeemed at top airlines and hotels, Amazon.com purchases, future rent payments, and even more. Bilt points have also been ranked by top publications as the industry's most valuable points currency. Your housing payment is already your biggest expense. Make it your most rewarding. Find the card that fits your lifestyle and apply today at joinbilt.com/journey. That is joinbilt.com/journey. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you. Terms and limitations apply. Subject to approval and eligibility, Bilt cards are issued by Column NA, member FDIC, pursuant to license for MasterCard International Incorporated.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
What if I told you that one of the most unique Secrets properties in the entire Hyatt portfolio isn't on the beach at all, yet still delivered one of our favorite adults-only getaways last year? Well, on today's episode, we're taking you inside our stay at Secrets Tulum, a cenote-inspired, jungle-wrapped, boutique-style resort that surprised us in all the best ways. From the rooftop foam party that we did not see coming, to our preferred club upgrade, to one of the warmest swim-up pools that we've ever had, this stay was full of moments that were absolutely worth talking about. And because it wouldn't be a Tulum trip without incredible food, we're also sharing two off-resort restaurants that you absolutely cannot miss. So if you're planning a visit to Tulum or just want to know what a 25,000-point Secrets night stay can get you, well then this is an episode you'll want to stick around for.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. My name is DeAndre Koch. I'm here along with my co-host and wife, Taryn. And today we've got an amazing, amazing stay for you all that we are excited to highlight on one of our recent adventures. Before we get into that, as always, our quick reminders, you can catch all these episodes in their full entirety on our regular YouTube channel, as well as we do have our vlog style Boldly Go Travels channel on YouTube as well. And then for those that watch all of our content on YouTube, you can catch our audio only quick hits on Fridays that releases every Friday on all the audio only channels like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. And that's going to be our up-to-date news in the world of points and miles, talking through things like payroll and credit card updates there on that platform and all the things that are more up-to-date in the world of points and miles and through our WhatsApp community chat as well. And also, wherever you're listening or watching this, please don't forget to give us a like, subscribe. We'd love a 5-star rating and review and always would appreciate that opportunity from all of you all. So now on to the main show specifically. And in our wrap-up of 2025, we talked about how we had a recent trip to Tulum, Mexico. It's one of our favorite places to visit, one of our favorite places to go back to. We go back to Tulum quite often. And we were there for 6 days total, and two of which were at Secrets Tulum.
Yeah, I mean, when we go to Tulum, we almost always stay at the same Airbnb in Aldea Zama. And that's an area that's managed by Greenwood Vacations, which you might remember that we had the giveaway that they did of the 4-night stay for our 100th episode giveaway. So we go back and we stay there because it's in a really good location. It's super affordable. It has really great amenities. And it's actually like right across the street from Secrets Tulum, ironically. So we didn't have to go very far to check in. We're going to put the link to where we always stay in the show notes in case you're interested in a non-resort stay. And if you are interested in hearing more about the last time that we were in Tulum, which was during Christmas of 2024, before we did New Year's in Mexico City, you can listen to that trip back in episode 60.
Yeah, so a brief kind of overview, if you're not familiar with Secrets properties in general. It is a Hyatt brand property. It is an adults only brand specifically, and it is one of their, typically the Secrets properties are going to be their higher echelon of all inclusive of adults only stays. So this Secrets Tulum specifically has a really nice boutique feel. And if you're not familiar with the Tulum, Mexico area, it's very well known, very popular for cenotes. What cenotes are essentially underground lakes and rivers. And it has, I believe, the largest network of them in the world is right there in Tulum. And there's hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of miles that's undiscovered of the underground rivers and lakes and such. So the layout of the property has a very cenote style design. If you imagine like a Venn diagram, circles within circles, it kind of looks like that. But also it's really interesting because it's the Secrets Tulum Resort and Beach Club, but it's in the middle of the jungle and not at all on the beach. But we'll get to that a little bit later. So it's a really unique, very different design property. And I know we're going to talk through the layout and everything like that, but it's very different from any place, any other Tulum, or let me rephrase that, any other Secrets property we've stayed at before. So for all of us points and miles wizards out there, just so you're aware, it's an award category D. And for Hyatt properties, they go through 1 through 8 on the hotel side, and then A through F on the all-inclusive side. So the higher the letter or the number, the more points it's going to take. So category D going to be one of the higher numbers there. So the average room night is going to cost you anywhere from 25,000 to 35,000 Hyatt points to stay there in any given night. And obviously Hyatt is a big transfer partner of both Chase and Bilt. So you can use your Chase points as an example, transfer to Hyatt and stay here as well. So as I mentioned, we only stayed here for 2 nights. It was part of our overall trip. We've known about this property. We've seen it all the time, but we've been behind the gate. So we wanted to get into it and kind of get to experience it. And so that was really where our opportunity was. So to start off, let's talk a little bit, Taryn, about our first impressions and arrival. And now we were staying at the Airbnb, but the time frame to get to there from the airport is going to be exactly the same because, as you mentioned, right across the street. So it's about 45 minutes from the Tulum airport. You can fly into the Cancun airport as well, but it's going to take you about an hour and a half from the Cancun airport. And the Cancun airport is Mexico's busiest airport, and it's massive and huge and very busy. Tulum, well, Taryn, I got to ask you, how much do you love the Tulum airport and flying into it?
Oh, it's probably my favorite. It's small. It has like rich culture and the aesthetic of Tulum, which is really cool. And they have incredible mezcal selections and tacos at the airport. And as even though they don't have a lounge that we can enjoy, which would be better, the amenities that they do have are actually really nice. And it's a really beautiful new airport. And who doesn't love that?
Yeah, it's absolutely great. It's deep, deep, deep set into the jungle. I'm talking like, I can't explain how deep this is into the jungle.
Jaguar passing signs.
Yeah, I know. Yes, exactly. There's jaguar passing signs and warning signs that, you know, jaguar and snake crossing. It's that far deep in the jungle, but it's a good size airport. And what's really nice is if you've ever flown to Cancun, you've probably waited no less than 30 minutes and up to an hour to 2 hours to just get through customs and immigration. We not yet have once had to wait longer than basically 2 minutes to get through immigration, and then customs is just waiting for your bag there. They are seem a little bit more hands-on as far as wanting to check your luggage, whereas Cancun, they usually just kind of randomize the, you press the button, is it green, is it red? If it's red, you have to get searched. Here, they just kind of grabbed you and said, hey, open your bags. little more invasive than we typically like, but it still flowed through pretty well. And then you could catch a cab or have transportation from the hotel, be there in about 45 minutes. So pretty straightforward.
We could talk about after we finally got there to check in and how they whisked us off away because of our globalist status, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the like premier kind of check-in experience in this beautiful like lounge. That was really cool.
Yeah. So when we pulled up to the resort and we drove there, we had a rental car. So we drove the 2 minutes it took to get from our Airbnb, pulled up, valet took our bags, took our car keys, and said, you know, basically go to check-in. Went to check-in, gave them my name, and they said, oh, sorry, we have to take you to the preferred club to check-in. And that's where we had our first preferred club experience with Secrets Tulum. And we'll talk a little more about the preferred club in general. But I mean, Taryn, what'd you think of the check-in, you know, meeting our welcome drinks, meeting our concierge, Enrique? What'd you think of kind of that initial check-in process?
Initially, the air conditioning felt amazing because the other check-in areas, I think, were kind of in the like covered outdoor area. So they didn't actually have AC, which, you know, it's we're there for the vibes, but it was really nice and cool inside. They had a bunch of different snacks. They had a full bar where they're, you know, espresso martinis, whatever you want. And I loved that VIP experience of getting checked in the preferred place.
Yeah, it is really nice to kind of set you to the side. We still did have, even coming in as globalist with Hyatt, they did try to give us the quick and dirty, like, hey, here's the opportunity to join Hyatt vacation clubs. And if you go to this other resort for breakfast, which we'll shuttle you to, you'll get 3 nights stay at any of these Hyatt properties in the area. We basically were like, hey, thanks, but we're not going to take the time to do this. We don't have that much time here on our stay in general. And, you know, of course, the way we travel, the timeshare vacation club isn't really our thing. And I mean, she didn't really push too hard, I didn't think. I mean, she basically did her job and was like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, no, I've definitely seen way more aggressive, not assertive, more aggressive folks trying to sell that don't really listen to no. So I think she was a lot more respectful, I think, in the interaction, because sometimes I think they can be really pushy to what you were saying. But if we had more time, perhaps, but you know.
Yeah. And we've done it before. We've done the presentation before to get some of the perks out of it. But again, didn't have a ton of time. Wasn't really going to try to go off property. And it was going to be like a 30-minute drive off property to do it. So anyway, it was a good check-in experience. For those of you that might hear, oh, why would I care about the drinks in the preferred club when it's all inclusive and there's bars all over? It's because the preferred club, specifically bar, has higher quality top shelf drinks. So they have things in that bar that you can't get in the other bars that aren't in a preferred club area. So if you do like have a little more of a higher end taste when it comes to some of your beverages, that's a good reason to know. But also from checking in, Enrique, our concierge, who was phenomenal, is fantastic. He took our bags and escorted us through the property, kind of took us the scenic route, essentially, or maybe not the scenic, the more straightforward route, which is on the rooftops. Very interesting design with how this property is laid out. You actually can pretty much walk along all the roofs of all the different buildings, but they're only about 3 to 4 stories tall at the most. And then he kind of explained the different resort as we walk through, carrying some of our bags with us, and then got to our room. Now we're going to talk about our room and other things, but Taryn, in general, what do you just think of the aesthetic of this Secrets property? Because I think it's really important to highlight how it's designed and how it's really kind of tied to the culture and the fit of Tulum as a whole.
Yeah, this was a very unique setup for a Secrets. It didn't look or feel when you got there like any other Secrets property that we've been to. And it felt very uniquely Tulum. I feel like the architecture, the circles, it was meant to sort of mimic with the connection of the pools, the cenotes and all of that. I mean, there was a lot more natural stone, more jungle feel. Definitely, you know, it didn't have the same design aesthetic as most of them that are basically lined up to the ocean, because I feel like that's how most of them are. And everything, the focal point is based on like the ocean, even if the pools are in front of that. So it all kind of goes together. This was a very different feeling. It was a bit of a maze, but I feel like they captured like the uniqueness and beauty of Tulum in the way that they laid out the resort, even though if you're familiar with Secrets, it's not going to help you at this location.
Yeah, because I mean, we've been to well over half a dozen different Secrets properties, and pretty much as you said, they're all basically shaped like a horseshoe. And imagine the center of the horseshoe being kind of the pool and all the stuff, and then the end of the horseshoe is the ocean. Well, this was very, very different. And what's unique is because you could also walk on all the roofs and everything like that, is there were pools along all the roofs. There were pools down below. Many of the pools were very canal-shaped where they connected through different buildings. And that made it such an intricate design, but also makes it a maze. And even Enrique said, hey, you're going to want to go this route because it's easy to get lost. I can absolutely see someone that's not really great with directions being like, how the heck do I get back to the lobby? Because it's really not as intuitive as it is in most places.
Yeah, it really isn't. I probably would have gotten lost if I ventured off on my own.
So, I mean, fantastic, fantastic property. Let me ask you this, Taryn. Just knowing what Secrets is typically known for, I know we did some pretty cool things at this resort. What would you say is more so the mood or the atmosphere? Like, what type of guest do you think would enjoy this Secrets property the most?
I mean, they definitely turned up more than I thought at the foam party. It almost felt more like a Breathless kind of vibe, which is more of the party by the pool, popping bottles, great DJ, great music. But they also still had like the quiet areas. They had the quiet pools. I feel like there's probably something for everyone. And unless you're somebody that wants to like be at like on the beach all day, every day for your vacation, which is still an option here, just a little bit more complicated, and I'm sure we'll get to that. I think it would be for you because they do have the romantic and quiet, but then they also have like the turn up party, which is not something Secrets actually usually ever does.
Right. Yeah. I think outside of the Breathless clubs, as you said, the Secrets Moshe, which I think is still one of the best Secrets properties, Impressions Moshe specifically, one of the best properties out there, which has that gypsy nightclub, which was just wild. This place was mostly quiet, except for this turn up, which we'll get to in a little bit. Before we get there, we got to talk about the room, because we booked on points a standard room. And actually, our stay was 25,000 points per night when we actually booked. And for a room, that was about $700 a night. So I think the actual room, the standard room, was going to be closer to maybe 400 or so, maybe a little bit less, maybe 350. But we were upgraded to a preferred club swim-up suite, but not just any preferred club swim-up suite. We got the corner room as well. I mean, Taryn, what'd you think of the room?
I loved the location. I love that we got a corner because you know that I am not the biggest fan of like a shared swim-up pool because I feel like you don't get like the privacy because anybody can just swim around, which did happen a couple times, or someone was out there cleaning. And I'm like, who's out there? So that's usually not something I would like. But because we were like on the corner, I felt like we had more privacy than any of the other swim up locations next to us did. And it did seem like we had a larger space. Again, we didn't get to go to see the other rooms on the floor, but it did give the impression that it was a bit larger. But it was a very dark,
like stark stone. Yeah, the aesthetic is really dark in the room.
Yeah, it's very dark. And like, there are like lights, so you can turn them on, but they didn't really have any way to take advantage of the natural light, which I also think is a bit different from the rest of the Secrets locations, because I do think that typically they try to maximize that light that you can get, where this one was definitely a bit darker, especially like the closet and bathroom area. It felt like you were kind of in a cave, which again, it sounds like a cenote, so it could have been entirely intentional. Is it the best for doing your makeup as a woman? No, not really. But don't worry about that. You're on vacation.
And also, I don't know if every maybe preferred club swim up suite room has this, but our shower was massive enough to have a mini jungle inside of it with like the plants and stuff inside of our shower, like the literal shower enclosure, not the bathroom, but the actual shower enclosure. So it was really interesting with the dark stone layout, how they were trying to connect the jungle aspect. But the room was decently spacious, I would say. I would say, though, also, unlike a lot of the other properties we stayed at, yes, we did have the swim-up suite, but a lot of the properties we stayed at that have the swim-up suite, they still have like an internal jacuzzi or kind of like hot, like, you know, stone tub or resting tub.
Or just a bathtub, something.
Or just a bathtub, correct. And that was in this room.
No. I mean, the shower was huge and you could get the little sneaky view of the restaurant outside, which was also a little weird while you're showering. But I mean, I'm pretty sure they couldn't see us.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Great window, pretty large window that looks out, but I'm pretty sure no one could see you. So within this property, though, what was really unique, I thought, was the fact that if you recall, remember the pool was like weirdly warm for 2 days. So when the day we checked in, and again, this isn't just like a pool in front of us. This is a swim-up suite that connects basically every single pool on the same level around the building. And the day we got there, it felt the temperature you'd expect an outdoor pool outside your room to feel. But then the next day, and then even the morning when we were checking out, it was almost like jacuzzi warm.
Yeah, it was hot tub hot. It really was. I've never had that experience. It was incredible. It felt fantastic because there were no other jacuzzis on site, at least not that we found, if they exist and aren't in a private room. So some of the pools look like jacuzzis, but then you get in, you're like, oh, wait, this is just, it's just a pool. It's just a shallow pool. So that was, it was like a nice treat because we were looking for jacuzzis at one point, but it was a bit unexpected to have it, you know, at that temperature as comfortable as it was without having like jets, because I feel like that's typically what you want when you have a temperature that's that warm.
Yeah, it was really different for sure. And it made it for a nice experience. Absolutely. I think having an internal room would have been nice as well. But, you know, again, this was all an upgrade because we were supposed to have a very basic standard room. And one thing I want to clarify is this was not just a swim-up suite. This was a swim-up suite in the preferred club. So there's levels to the rooms. There's a preferred club standard room and preferred club suites and everything like that as well. And so if you're new to Secrets in general, never stay at a Secrets property ever. I would recommend the preferred club. The rooms are a little bit more expensive, but you get separate areas that you have access to in the resort that no one that's not preferred club has. So while we booked, again, a regular standard room because of globalist status, we got upgraded into not just the preferred club, but a preferred club suite as well. And again, with preferred club, you get access to better bars, some other food and dining options, a separate section of different pools and at the beach as well. So really try to go for the preferred club if it fits within your budget, if you're paying cash, or ideally with points in getting the upgrade to there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely a great have. I love being preferred, as you know, and having the better bars, everything else, as well as just having our own concierge. It makes a huge difference when you're trying to, you know, figure out where you're going to get to eat, just getting things updated, scheduled, and hey, we're trying to leave at this time. Like it was really nice having, it was Enrique, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Enrique there. And he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, he basically, as soon as we got into the room, created a WhatsApp group chat for us, and we could basically reach out for anything that we wanted, whether we needed something at the room, something picked up, or whatever it may be. And he was absolutely instrumental in the checkout, because we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But he was phenomenal, and can't speak highly enough. And he also recognized, he said, hey, look, you're a globalist, you're my VIP here. I want to make sure that you guys are taken good care of. And he absolutely delivered. So Taryn, before we get into the fun, the beaches and the pools and those type of things, let's talk a little about the food on the property. I know we didn't have, again, we weren't here for a whole week, so we didn't try out all the restaurants, but we really ate at three. We ate at the Jasmine restaurant, which is typically only for dinner, but if you're preferred club, that's where you have breakfast. And then the two restaurants we ate at for dinner, one was Portofino, their Italian restaurant, and the last one was their Blue Water Grill, which was like an outdoor kind of cooking experience or outdoor restaurant in the jungle. So just in general, what were your thoughts on the food at the resort?
I mean, it was pretty good. I'd say that in terms of Secrets properties, I have been to some with better food, like Impressions Moshe. And we have also been to ones that are less. And I'm not even going to mention which ones because it's not important. So I'd say they probably land in the middle in terms of Secrets specifically, in terms of how their food was. It wasn't bad. It wasn't spectacular, but I'm only saying that because we had really spectacular meals right after we left this property. So maybe I'm a little skewed in my opinion just because of that. But I did really enjoy the breakfast at Jasmine. I thought that was really fantastic. They had smoothies, they had juices, like all fresh squeezed, and like some really good authentic Mexican breakfasts, which, you know, I'm a big fan of.
I would agree. Jasmine was great. I definitely wish we would have had a chance to go there for dinner. We went and opted for Portofino, the Italian restaurant, which I think for both of us was kind of eh from a quality standpoint. It wasn't bad, but it just...
I have you spoiled because I cook Italian food. Don't lie to the people.
That's fair. That's absolutely, absolutely fair. It was not up to the standard that I can get at home. So that is probably why my bar was set a lot higher. However, if you do go, just know that their Blue Water Grill, because it's completely outdoors, that is weather dependent. So if you have the opportunity to go there, would recommend that you do. That's where they kind of smoke and grill things outdoors. And it's very kind of a smoky ambience inside of the jungle, which is really cool. So we opted to go there instead of Jasmine for dinner, just because that was a place that if we come back, if it's raining, we might not be able to actually go there. So overall, food was pretty good, I would say. Again, didn't hit it out the park. The places that we went to after we left the resort were fantastic, and we're actually going to highlight a couple of those just as a bonus on this episode as well. But I would say, you know, definitely Secrets quality, not the top of the notch, but as you said, not the bottom either.
Absolutely.
Hey, everyone. Quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. So let's get into the fun, the pools, entertainment, and those type of things before we wrap up talking about the resort, because I know, I feel like one of our most unique experiences we had when it comes to trying to figure out where to post up, where to sit and relax, was that we couldn't figure out where to sit and relax because we couldn't figure out what matched the vibe we were trying to have.
First world problems.
Completely first world problems. That's really not a normal thing for us at all, because usually it's like, oh, this is the main pool with a swim-up bar. This is where everyone is, or this is where they're playing music. Like, we want to be where the energy is. And we couldn't find that.
Yeah, well, because there was no swim-up bar.
That's true.
That was the bar you had to get out of the pool, and then it was, you know, maybe your feet would be wet, but like you're not.
Yeah, there's nothing where you can actually swim up to. There's not a single seating bar that we found.
Yeah, and the area even that was by that bar, that was by the pool, it was like only like up to your knee, or at least my knee, based on my height at 5'4". And that's kind of strange at like one of the main bars, that it's like as shallow as like the kids' pool would be in obviously somewhere that isn't adults only. So that was a little strange in terms of picking that up. And then the quiet pool, you could still hear music from the other pool, which is also totally not the norm. But yeah, it was hard to kind of get situated and figure out where's our spot, because typically I feel like it's more clear when you're walking around of like, oh, we're going to definitely park here, keep our stuff, we've got everything we need. And it was a maze as well. So, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, it was very much so. I mean, I will say they did have great service. So even in like what they consider their main pool, that's where they had volleyball and water aerobics and other things. They had attendants going around all the time to, you know, collect your cups if you brought your own kind of thermoses for drinks, or to bring you drinks if you ordered them and such. But, you know, if you like the vibe of just sitting at a pool bar, you know, talking with your friends, talking to the bartender, whatever it may be, getting the refills consistently. To my knowledge, they didn't have that pretty much anywhere at all on the entire property. But also what was interesting is, because I think a mixture of how big the property is and the way it's laid out with pools on the ground level, pools on the rooftop, and then, of course, a beach area that people can go to that's separate, it also felt really, really empty. And they were saying that they were, what, close to like 98% capacity or something like that. And we felt like we found nobody when we were walking around during the day. The first 2 days we were there, I say we see anybody, but there was not an area where it was crowded, where it was busy, where it was hard to find a place to bed to lay down in. Usually have to fight for chairs or whatever it may be. We didn't have to deal with any of that.
I feel like that made it even harder to figure out where to park because there was open chairs everywhere. And it's like, oh, how are we supposed to pick like which pool? I don't know which pool we like yet. It was definitely unique in terms of trying to identify like the spot.
However, we were told that there is a foam party on the rooftop, one of the rooftop pools, every Thursday and Saturday. I believe the time was like 3 to 5 p.m. And we got there early at 2 because we actually were told that it started early, but it didn't. They just kind of wanted the crowd to get hype. I mean, this was like a spring break level. This was a pretty cool foam party. I mean, this was what surprised us. We talked about a foam party. I know I posted in some of our stories and those type of things. I mean, Taryn, this was a foam party.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, especially when you think about Secrets, a brand that like we've talked about where you can't bring a mini speaker in a lot of locations because they want it to be quiet and romantic. And they'll be like, you can't use that here. And then we go to this location where they had like the server with the Aperol Spritz flotation bar walking around, like making fresh drinks for everybody. It was like full on foam. I feel like the only thing they didn't have was the cold cannons because the music was lit. Like everything was really fun. They were dancing like, oh my gosh, like entertainment was at a whole nother level in terms of their dance moves, and just I would not be able to keep up.
Yeah, outside of the entertainment staff just pouring shots into your mouth as you went by, which they did not do, to be very clear. I mean, this was a pretty turnt party. And to your description, if you're wondering what Taryn just said, that happened to me. I was resting at a Secrets, had my Bluetooth speaker. It was not loud, it was very low. It's like taking a nap, and it was under me, under the chair. And security came up to me and said, please turn that off. That's what we're not necessarily like, but that's what we're used to expect at Secrets. So for them to have a full on, I mean, crank the stereo, the speakers up to max volume, the entertainment, the singer, the DJ.
And there was like a wedding set up where like, is this going to be happening at the same time as the wedding? Like, do they know? Is that okay? I think it was after. I think the wedding was after they had just set up. But I remember thinking like, there's no way you can't hear this at that bird's nest kind of center area, which is where they do most of the weddings, which is also a really cool just photo spot.
Yeah, it's a fantastic photo spot and a good setup where they kind of have the wedding there. But yeah, they pretty much shut the party off. I think the wedding started like 20 minutes later. Like they were like, we're not going over with this. There's no encore. We got a wedding that has to go and that has to go on. So moving on here, because this is pretty much covers most of the resort, we did talk about the preferred club. I do want to point out that there is a preferred club pool area as well, and that's actually behind a locked gate that you have to use your key card to get into. That has its own bar, its own restaurant in there, and its own kind of quiet pool. It's like one of those sand type pools where that kind of gradually gets deeper over time. So it's a really cool ambiance type environment. And most of the preferred club rooms, like our smoke suite, actually overlooked into that area. Again, very unique style where all the buildings are like rings or half rings. And so imagine a ring, basically our room looked into that. So I want to talk about the beach itself because Tulum is known for its beaches as well as its light nightlife and its partying and the cenotes. And the beach club, or the beach part, I should say, is not anywhere near the actual resort. So they have shuttles that run all day long to take you to the beach club. And so our checkout day was actually when we went to the beach club. And this is where Enrique came in absolutely clutch because we weren't able to get a super late checkout, which we were hoping for. We were hoping to get like the typical globalist, like 4 p.m. checkout. They're like, hey, sorry, the latest we can absolutely do is 12 because we are at such capacity. The room has to get clean and turned over, but we'll hold your bags for you. You can go to the beach club. You can use our facilities until 5 p.m. And even after the beach club, you can go to the spa and shower if you want to freshen up before your next destination of where you're going to, because they knew that we had a car. So Enrique absolutely hooked everything up for us there. They took our bags. We got in the shuttle, went to the beach club. It was about a 20-minute ride to the beach club. And I'd say we walked into the beach club, and that's when we realized that that's where everybody was.
I mean, I did suspect that in the earlier days, because when it was empty, you're like, there's no way that they're at, you know, 90% capacity or whatever it was. I was like, well, maybe everyone's at the beach club. And once we got there, it felt like that, although that was getting towards the weekend. So I do think that there actually was a higher capacity at that day than the when we had checked in. And I was glad there was a preferred area, so we were able to find somewhere to sit, because the non-preferred area, at least by the time we had gotten there, which was after we had basically checked out, so it was not early. We didn't get there first. If we did, I'm sure we would have had seats immediately on either side, but it was nice having the preferred section for seating. It was a bit unique, though, because there was not really a way to eat on the preferred side. You had to go to the other side to get, you know, some food, and that, you know, it took a little while.
Yeah, it did. That was probably the only real downside. They did have attendants there as well to bring your drinks and your food. We had success getting our drinks, but for whatever reason, we kept not getting our food or our nachos. And they only had like a couple options that you could get brought to you food-wise.
Snacks. Yeah, it was like snacks. It was like guacamole and...
Exactly.
Nothing of like real sustenance, like stuff to just kind of get you through.
Correct. But if you go to the restaurant there, they had burgers, they had fish tacos, which were amazing. They had a lot more heavier food.
A ceviche bar.
The ceviche bar, yep.
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot that they offered overall.
And if you're not familiar with Tulum, I mean, yes, you get to use this property, but you can walk it on the beach and then just walk down the beach in either direction, and you're going to find beach club after beach club after beach club that, yes, you have to pay to use or what have you, but a lot of them are going to have DJs, you're going to have parties. So, I mean, the beach was super, super lively, and the water is fantastic. It's warm. I mean, it is Mexico beaches at its best, and the sargassum or the seaweed basically that can inundate it, that was not there when we were there, which is fantastic.
What sargassum? I didn't see any. I just saw fishes.
Exactly. Yes. For we've been there where times you actually can't use the beach because there's so much seaweed piled up on the beach that's basically invaded. But thankfully, we were there at a time that did not happen. So the beach club was great. Now, so the shuttles, so you know, they run from like 9 a.m. all the way till basically 5-ish p.m. And then after 5, they don't really run until after dinner, so like 9 to 10 p.m. time frame, because people can actually opt to stay on the beach. There are rooms there. They're extremely expensive, and I don't believe they're bookable with points, but you can actually choose to stay right on the beach and then be the opposite and shuttle to the hotel or the resort when you want to.
And that's what makes sense with the timing, that they probably would, you know, be going there either before dinner, 5, or going after dinner for the hangout. So that made sense.
Yeah, it absolutely did. So, Taryn, I mean, overall, this was a fantastic resort. I thought it was great. Of course, it's super close to a place that we like to call our second home. But I got to ask you your thoughts. Would this be a place that you would go back to, a place that you would recommend? Kind of at a high level, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely would. I mean, I love Tulum, and especially, you know, if we want to have that experience of being pampered, which is what we got. And, you know, in the Airbnb, we're, you know, cooking sometimes and doing other things. So it was really nice to have kind of a bit of everything in this trip, I think. I thought it was really beautifully, like, aesthetically done to capture the, like, beauty of Tulum. And I really enjoyed the, like, attentiveness of the staff. And I thought it was really nice.
I would agree. I'd resonate with everything that you said there across the board. One of the things I'll say is this place really did make the globalist feel like a globalist. We've stayed other places where it's just more like, eh. But this place, they delivered on a really high level. Enrique was fantastic. In fact, I mentioned all the things they offered they could do, like we could shower on the spot and all that if we wanted to. But he said, hey, make sure to message me when you're on the shuttle on the way back for the beach, which we did. And so when the shuttle pulled back up to the lobby, we had our vehicle there already pulled out, already loaded with our luggage. We literally hopped off the shuttle, grabbed the key from Enrique, hopped in the car, and left. Very, very smooth process. It was absolutely fantastic. I would recommend it for sure. I really overall enjoyed the experience. And it's definitely a place that while we go back to Tulum often, I think it's a place where, yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to stay another one or two nights there just to kind of get that all-inclusive feel, a little bit of the pampering, maybe use the spa.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All of the things.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Perfect. Perfect. So before we wrap this one up, we want to hit a couple of highlights that we had on this trip for anyone that's visiting Tulum, because as you've probably heard slash learned over the years of Taryn being on the podcast and myself, but mostly Taryn is the foodie. And so by being a foodie, she usually picks some of the best locations, best restaurants for us to have some incredible food. on our travels. And there were two on this trip that were absolutely phenomenal and that we had never been to anytime that we'd been to Tulum before. So the first place I'm going to let you talk about, Taryn, because it really stands out for the accolades that it received. So let's talk about Arca.
Oh my gosh. I was so excited to go to Arca. I know that you remember. I was so excited because it is not just on the best of like 50 best cocktail lists. It's on Michelin Guide. It's in 50 best restaurants. Like, this is somewhere that has all of the things. And you normally don't see a lot of crossover from the best bars and the best restaurants. Not that it doesn't ever exist. It's just, it's very rare. And at least we haven't been to any until now. So that was really exciting. It was completely outdoors and it was like a tapas experience, but it was like open fire and they come to the table, explain it. And then the cocktails were super elevated and at a high level. And honestly, I don't know what I was more impressed by.
Yeah, you're right, because they had a story for everything they brought to the table, whether it was a food or a beverage. They had a story explaining it and the delivery method and the
sustainability, local,
all of it.
Like, yeah, I mean, they really told the whole story of like, this is grown here. And that's why we included in this dish, because they want to take all of these local ingredients and elevate those dishes. It really was like a dinner and a show almost in terms of like learning about each dish and each drink. And I think that my favorite drink actually was that dirty, basically it's a take on like a dirty martini, but it was for mezcal and it had like this really nice piece of seaweed that was briny. And it sounds so weird. I'm sure that's not going to sound as delicious. I'm not doing them justice. It sounds gross as I'm listening to myself. I promise you it was delicious. And if you like a dirty martini, but you also like mezcal, oof, that was something special. And that bone marrow, you know, I love that though.
Bone marrow was incredible. The Wagyu.
Oh yeah, the Wagyu was great.
Wagyu was also incredible. So we don't want to make the listeners hungry, although we have another place to talk about. But just so you know, from a location standpoint, Arca is what we call in the hotel zone. So Tulum has a few different areas. I'm not going to go through all of them, but the hotel zone essentially is where the beach is. And it's actually not too far from the Secrets Tulum Beach Club. It's just down the street from it, actually. But the hotel zone is a very, very long dirt road. But that's where all the beach clubs, a lot of the boutique shops are, all those different things. That's the most expensive part of Tulum. This restaurant is there. You are 100% going to need a reservation to get into this place, unless by some chance you go in the low, 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 low season and the weather's not great because it's also completely outdoors and open. There is a little bit of an overhang area, but just keep that in mind. This is a place that you're absolutely going to want to get a reservation for.
Mm-hmm. But it is so worth it.
Now let's talk about the second place. So I mentioned that Arca was in the hotel zone. We mentioned that Secrets Tulum and the Airbnb that we stay at is in Aldea Zama. That's actually just off of the hotel zone. That's kind of in the jungle. And then as you're going towards the main highway, which is the same highway that connects with Cancun, the main town of Tulum, the original town of Tulum, we'll just call that the town. That is where the next restaurant is that we want to highlight. And that place is called Mestiza. So Taryn, what'd you love about Mestiza?
I love that they took almost everything I love about Mexican food and like Japanese and somehow figured out how to marry the two together in a way that like makes sense and was just like a flavor bomb. And this was also a place that it was mostly a tapas kind of style where you could just order a bunch of things, which I'm always a fan. I want to try more than like one thing or two things. So I very much enjoyed that. And their cocktails were also fantastic. They weren't just known for their food, even though that is how I found this place. It was more of a foodie location, but their cocktails did not disappoint either. I mean, what was your favorite? What'd you like?
So I don't think I can specifically remember what I liked because I remember liking everything. I do remember, if you can imagine, like for me, if I think through like, what are my two favorite, I don't know, genres of food, you know, or top five in my top three, it's going to be Asian and Mexican food, basically, right? And as we've been to Mexico City, had incredible food there. We love our Asian food experiences in those countries. I've not been to Japan yet for food, but imagine, as you said, marrying those two together, how incredible would it be to have like Asian and Mexican fusion? And that's what you get.
I was gonna say, what about the bao buns and what about those big shrimp? It was like in a lettuce leaf. but it was like a tempura shrimp, and they were huge. They were like,
they were massive, like a foot long.
Like literally like larger than my hand, but they were super light and airy and aromatic and delicious because of the lettuce wrap and the light panko breading. Bao buns were fantastic. They had dumplings. Everything was really incredible. Did you get the ramen? Or did we just look at other people eating the ramen? I can't remember.
I think we looked at other people eating the ramen. Again, it was a really, really incredible place. And the thing is, it's like in the town. So there's like cars running, like bustling by. I mean, it's like it's just like off the street. So it's not in the most like Tulum-esque looking place. It's just in the town.
It wasn't touristy. At all.
Not touristy at all. Right. It's in a fantastic area. So these are two places we want to mention because they're two places worth leaving the resort for. Honestly, in Tulum, there's a lot of places worth leaving the resort for. That's why we don't stay in resorts when we're in Tulum. In fact, before I forget, because I just remembered this, there is a pharmacy literally right outside the gates of Secret Tulum. You can walk to it 2 minutes outside the gates. You can get sunscreen there. You can get clothing there. You can get so many different things there, medication, whatever you need.
Is that where you got your swimsuit?
That's where I got my swimsuit. I had to go there because I went to Mexico, forgot my swimsuit for the first time in my life, and I needed to go buy a swimsuit. So I walked to the pharmacy there. I've been there a few times, walked to the pharmacy there, got a swimsuit, got a really cool shirt for you, Taryn, the axolotl, the neon one.
I love it. I was relentless in kind of teasing him for forgetting it just because he's got his packing lists and he always makes fun of me. He's like, you don't even use a packing list. And I'm like, how did you not remember your swimsuit?
I don't know. It just happened.
It happens. I was just giving you a hard time, babe. I know it happens, but that location had a lot more to offer than what you would expect.
Yes. And so my point to saying that is if you do go to Secrets and you forgot something, don't just think you have to buy it on the resort and pay up the wazoo for it. Like literally across the street. I know it says it's a pharmacy. Think of it more like a mini Walgreens. So it's not just medicine, but it's a bunch of other stuff that you could need. But this is the size of like a 7-Eleven, basically, just to kind of give you some scale. So overall, had a fantastic time in Tulum. There's one other thing we got to mention that we had a chance to experience that we had not done before. Tulum is known for its world-class full moon parties, which go on at the Papaya Playa project. And it's really great if you're a fan of house music, I will say that. Outside of that, it's just an experience. So Taryn, real briefly, what'd you think?
I mean, it was a total vibe. It wasn't a full moon. It was close, but it wasn't. But it was right on the ocean, which was beautiful. The moonlight was like dancing in the different, like the ambiance was really cool. It was very clubby, but it was house, which I know is not your favorite because you find it a bit redundant. I thought it was really fun vibes. And the interesting part was that they also had a similar drink ticketing experience similar to what we described at like the Time Out Lounge in Dubai, where you have like a preset amount of money or you have to like re-up to get more drinks. You couldn't just buy a drink, which I think was probably the most unique thing about this location that I hadn't anticipated, because you have to basically kind of put the money on the card in order to get a drink at the bar. And if you don't have enough, then you have to like go back and add more.
Yeah, the drinking bar scenario wasn't necessarily great, but the ambiance was really cool. It's kind of like walking into like a music festival, like an electronic music festival, or maybe like a Burning Man at night type feel as you walk in with like some of their like light up and glowing effects and those type of things. And then the party's actually like right off the water with, like Taryn said, the moon is in the background shining off the water. Really, really cool experience. Not something I feel the need to go back to unless there's a DJ or someone entertainer there that we really, really love, but it was really cool.
I was going to say the way that it's set up, like if it was somebody who we were really interested in, like it would have been it would have been even better. And I still had a great time, but I would definitely go there for, you know, if Timmy Trumpet was here, right? Or I could think of a bunch of others, but there's a handful of artists that I would definitely want to see if they were performing there. But, you know, if it's no one else that we know, then I'm happy that we just did it that time at least. But I'd definitely consider it again for somebody we like.
Absolutely. I would resonate the same. I think we've covered enough with this today on this episode. We talked about the resort. We talked about great places to stay. And of course, if you happen to be in Tulum, you want to go to a party, then the Papaya Playa Project, which I think is only open on weekends, is an option as well. Taryn, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
I mean, what can't Tulum offer, really?
With that, I think we should wrap this one up. So we'll roll the outro.
All right. So if you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to follow us on all the social media channels and sign up for our newsletter and private Facebook group as well to get insider information. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Travel has changed a lot since my father wrote Europe on $5 a day, but our mission hasn't. I'm Pauline Frommer of the Frommer Travel Guides, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, I share practical advice, meaningful stories, and conversations with some of the most trusted names in the industry. If you're looking for ways to travel smarter and bring the world closer, I've got you covered. New episodes weekly at voyescape.com.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.